Wow. Be a possibilitarian. I challenge you to be a possibilitarian. No matter how dark things seem to be or actually are, raise your sights to see possibilities. Always see them, for they are always there. Norman Vincent Peale. Cliff Young. Does anyone know the story of Cliff Young? Good. Cliff Young, when he was 61 years old, all of his life, though, most of his adult life, he had wanted to do the Sydney to Melbourne race. It was called one of the most difficult, if not the most difficult, races. It was 554 miles. The record to that point, to his entering, was 6.5 days. Cliff Young was 61 years old. He shows up the morning of the race, not pre-registered, and here are all these 20 and 30-year-olds in their Nikes and Pumas and, you know, all the gear. Cliff Young shows up in Oshkosh overalls, work boots, with galoshes over the top in case it rained. When he got up to the registration table, the people at the registration table thought it was a joke at first, but when they realized he was serious, they said to him, "Have you ever run a race before?" "No." "Do you know what this race entails?" "Not really." "Well, what makes you think that you can run this race?" He said, "Well, my family has a sheep ranch, sheep farm, and sometimes when the weather is bad, I have to go out and round up the sheep. We don't have any equipment, so it's me and the dogs. And sometimes it takes me days to round up all of the 2,000 head of sheep. And I just round them up and I don't sleep." Well, they talked among themselves, the judges, and said, and allowed him to join the race. They thought he would probably drop out after a day or so, or, you know, something to that effect. So, but they thought his health would live up to it, so they allowed him to join. The race starts. Well, you can go on YouTube. I challenge you to go on YouTube, and you can see Cliff Young, clips of Cliff Young. Once he had run the race, they call this the Cliff Young shuffle. The others, you know, shot out. The 20 and 30-year-olds just shot out, and Cliff's going. He knows how to pace himself. Well, the race goes on, and Cliff is running, and people are giving him water and helping him along and that sort of thing. So night comes, and Cliff keeps running. Cliff has never read a Runner's World magazine. He doesn't know anything about this race. He doesn't know that you run for 15 hours or so and then sleep for a few hours and run again. He continues to run the entire time with very little rest in between. Well, needless to say, Cliff won the race. He shaved off, I think it was like 5.5 hours of the previous record. The prize was $10,000. He took the $10,000 and gave $2,000 each to the five people behind him. What an extraordinary story. I love this story. It goes to show us what we can do once our mind is made up. Be a possibilitarian, like Norman Vincent Peale said. There is so much in life that we can do. We know that our Bible says, with God, all things are possible. Do you ever think about that scripture? Just think about it. With God, all things are possible. There are no caveats underneath it that says, you know, accept this and don't forget that, and you can never do this. With God, all things are possible. It is my belief that God gives us the desires of our heart. We are inborn with certain desires. Charles Fillmore says that desires are the upward and onward movement of an ever-evolving soul. Isn't that beautiful? The onward and upward movement of an ever-evolving soul. It is normal and natural for us to want to move forward, to pick up things that we've never done before, to have our sights set on things for future attainment. It is normal and natural to move on. Now, this means something different to everyone. We're not all going to run out and join up on a Sydney to Melbourne race, of course. But a desire of our heart is placed there by God. And it is my belief that when it is placed there, we get every single thing that we will ever need to fulfill that desire. We get all of the opportunities, all the people, everything, the natural gifts and abilities. They may be latent. We may have to take classes to move out of where we are into the space of knowing our gifts and realizing our desires. Case in point. When I was growing up, I know this is going to be hard for you to believe today, but when I was growing up, I was very, very, very shy. And when I heard someone laugh. Was that my husband? I was very shy, and I was so determined to get out of that shyness that I decided to go out for cheerleader whenever I was in ninth grade or something. It's been a while back. I practiced, got up my courage, got on the stage. In our school, you perform in front of the entire student body. People vote, and that's how they got their cheerleaders. Did my routine, went to the back of the stage behind the curtain, and promptly threw up. I was so petrified, but I was so determined to get out of that shyness for myself. Well, you can probably see it worked. I often say to people, whenever I'm telling them about my shyness back then and how I am now, I can talk to anyone. If the opportunity presented itself, I could talk to the Dalai Lama. I could talk to the president. I can talk to anyone. Because there came a point in my life that I really, you know, whenever you have these spiritual awakenings in your life, when you just instantly know you got it, some kind of teaching, when you know you got it. There was a point in my life that I really seriously understood we are all one. We are all one. Every single one of us are connected. No one's better than anybody else. No one's under anybody else. We have accomplishments, sure. And in society, we look at certain accomplishments as being higher, maybe, and some not so high. But really, no one is better than anyone else. No one is under anyone else. And there was a point in my life when I got it. When I got it. And that was a big turning point in another way as well. Be a possibilitarian. I got that when I was still attending Unity Church before I got the call to ministry. It opened up my whole world because I see people now as an extension of me, and I'm an extension of each one of you. And by the way, this is one of the friendliest congregations I have ever seen. In Hebrews 4:16, it says, "Let us go boldly before the throne of grace, before the throne of God. Let us go boldly and ask for what we want." Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened." It's really three ways of saying the same thing. Because I think Jesus knew it would take us a while to get it. Knock, seek, ask. Go boldly before the throne of grace. Be a possibilitarian, whatever it is in your life that really is so far out there that you think you couldn't attain it. Go for it anyway. Go for it anyway. Remember when you were a kid? 3 or 4 years old, and you knew you could do anything. Remember that? Say yes. If you don't remember what it was like, be around a child that's that age. Last night, we had the privilege of being around a small child for a short period of time. But remember when you knew you could be anything, do anything, it didn't really matter. No one had told you yet that it wasn't possible, or maybe it hadn't sunk in yet. I have a nephew that whenever he was 3 years old, he's very much an adult now, but when he was 3 years old, you know how we do with little kids. I don't know why we do this, but we say, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" Someone asked Joey, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" He said, "Well, I either want to be a fireman or a turtle." And that's the space that I'm talking about. Get back to that space when you didn't know you couldn't be a turtle. That the world was your oyster. Everything was open to you. So, how do we do that? Unity. Positive, practical, progressive Christianity. Sometimes we hear teachings, but we think, now how in the world am I going to implement that into my life? One is knowing that you, would you signal me when, because I forgot to look, okay. And there's no clock back there. A practical thing that we need to do is, and I go to a lot of seminars and workshops because, it was like I was saying earlier today, if I want to know something, I go to the experts. So I heard Jack Canfield say this. Does everybody know who he is? Anybody? He's the chicken soup for the soul person, and now he does seminars about how to manifest your dreams, basically. He says, number one thing that you need to do is relinquish your membership to the Ain't It Awful Club. Stop grouping together with people that the main subject is how terrible people are, how horrible the weather is, how oppressed the economy is, all of that sort of thing. Pull yourself away from those people and hang with people like you're hanging with this morning. Check out of the Ain't It Awful Club. Another story is about Farah Gray. Do any of you know who Farah Gray is? I love to tell stories that no one knows. Farah Gray, if you can just Google his name, and a lot of information will come up. When he was 7 or 8 years old, he was being raised by a single mom in the Cabrini Green district of Chicago, which is one of our nation's worst ghettos. His mom had 2 or 3 jobs, and then she had a heart attack. He wanted to help her, and he really didn't know how. So in his mind, he decided that the only thing that he could figure out that he had access to that he could make money from was that he picked up pebbles and pieces of cement, sanded them down, painted them, and then walked to a business district where people were going to their jobs, and he sold them to them for paperweights and doorstops and that sort of thing. So he was able to help his mom in that way. Later on, he decided that he would set up a little business where if people in his neighborhood that couldn't go to the grocery store, couldn't do their shopping or errands, he would charge them a dollar or whatever they could afford, and he would go do their errand, buy their groceries or whatever. Eventually, he hired his friends. He kept 50 cents, they kept 50 cents. That grew until he thought, now I could do something else. What do I really know? By this time, he was like 10. What do I really know? And he thought, I really know kids. Well, what do I know about kids? Kids like sweets. So he got a recipe from his grandmother for strawberry vanilla syrup that she made in her kitchen. He started to cook it and put it in mason jars and take it to the mom and pop grocery stores and sold lots of it until chains started picking it up. When he was 15, he sold that company for $1.5 million. Possibilitarian. Look at where he came from. If somebody would have looked at him when he was 8 or 10 years old, they probably would have thought he may not even live to see adulthood. He lived in such a rough neighborhood. Or he may be addicted to drugs by the time he reached adulthood. I just tell you, Google his name. You will see. And he gives back and gives back and gives back. When we reach those pinnacles in our life where we can, where we have amassed whatever it is, whether it be money, talent, whatever it is, then we have an opportunity to give back. When we see ourselves as possibilitarians, check out of the Ain't It Awful Club, and know that we are given every single thing that we need in order to fulfill our heart's desires. I really love the way I collect quotes. I have 300 or 400 quotes. I collect meaningful quotes. Deepak Chopra said this very well. Along with our heart's desires are the mechanics to fulfill those desires. Short and to the point. We would not have those desires if we did not have the openness, the opportunity, the gifts, the people in our lives to bring those to fruition. One more thing. Sometimes people will say, if something good is coming, they'll say, oh, don't get your hopes up. You know, maybe it won't happen. Don't get your hopes up. You might be disappointed. Have you ever heard that? Say yes. I say, get your hopes up. And get your hopes up every darn day. Get your hopes up. Don't listen to the naysayers. Check out of the Ain't It Awful Club. And be a possibilitarian. Thank you. Into the meditation. And so now, if you would, prepare with me for meditation. You might want to release anything that you have on your lap or in your hands and just allow your feet to be as flat on the floor as you can. and breathe in. Knowing that you are breathing in that life-sustaining breath of God. Allowing yourself to relax. And feeling the presence of God, knowing that that presence is always with us, always within us. But right now, we're making a conscious contact. Feeling that God presence, that divine presence within. We allow the words and the thoughts that came just prior to this meditation just to settle in our minds, in our hearts. Knowing that with God, indeed, all things are possible. And in this moment, we allow gratitude, that innate gratitude that is within every single person, we allow that gratitude to bubble up. Feeling the gratitude of this moment. Being open and receptive to God's living spirit of truth. In the silence. Even though this time of meditation draws to a close, we continue to allow that innate gratitude to pour forth in our lives, feeling that conscious connection in everything that we do, everything that we say, and all that we are. And so breathing into this now moment, we embrace these things in this beautiful state of gratitude. And so it is. And so it is.